Good evening again. It's good to see everyone out again this evening for our lectureship, gospel meeting, put what term you want to there, I guess. But glad everyone could make it out. We're blessed this evening to have Matt Crew speaking to us. Everybody knows Matt. Matt's down at Flomont now, worship center of the Flomont congregation. He also, for those of y'all that don't know, serves our state as a game warden. So mind your P's and Q's when you're out and around, or you might meet him sneaking up behind you. Matt, we're glad you could be here with us. Wish Libby and his second son, Quinn, could have been here, but Quinn had his tonsils out this morning. So he is at home hoping for ice cream, I think, is what he's hoping for. But we're glad that Matt and Flint could be with us tonight. Don't have any new announcements for this evening. It's just really good that we can be together to hear God's word again this evening. I know Matt will do a good job. Appreciate McNeil Brothers leading their singing. Dudley's on tonight. And we're going to bow now as we enter into our time of worship. Our Holy Father in heaven, we're grateful to you for being our God, our Creator, the Maker of all. Father, we pray that this evening we would separate the cares of the world from our minds, and we might focus on your word presented to us. We might take it into our lives and do the things that each day that a Christian should do to serve you better. Help us to look daily into your word, to study to show ourselves approved. Father, we pray that you'd be with Matt this evening as he speaks to us. Be with all of us as we go about our daily lives to spread the good news of Jesus to all we come in contact with. We pray in Christ's name.
Our Holy Father, we're so thankful for the blessings of this day, for letting us be here again to worship you, to praise you, to give the honor and glory to you that you so richly deserve. We hope that the words from our lips, the meditation of our hearts are pleasing before you, and done in a way that would uplift each one of us to strive to be closer to you, to be the type of people that you want us to be. I'm so thankful for all the blessings you entrust us with each day, for our homes and families, for the good health, and the joy that we have in living life, with the hope that you instill in us through your great love and want for us to be with you forever in eternity. We're thankful for your Son Jesus, who made that possible, who provided that perfect sacrifice, that we can be redeemed, and we will remember our sins no more, and the hope that we have because of that. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for those who have been even the lessons this week and growing up here, and it's just a great encouragement to each one of us to see what they're doing and the influence that they have in the communities that they live in. Blessings upon each one of them, on us, Father, as we look for how we can serve you better and to seriously look at the responsibilities of each of us have, for our fellow man, to share the good news, to help others that we can. Heavenly Father, be with Matt as he directs our thoughts tonight, help him to remember what he studied and to present it in the way pleasing to you. Help us to be attentive and to let the part of what he says through your words, the wonderful words of God. Be with us, Father, be a of those who couldn't be with us. And help us to do what is right. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Good afternoon. I'm Matthew Cruse. I know most of the people in here. I'm going to have to say this is the biggest crowd that I've had the honor of speaking to. Flomont Church of Christ, the building's maybe a third the size of this one, and we usually have around 30, 40 people on a normal Sunday morning, and our fourth Sundays we've had as many as 60 or so before. But I want to thank the men for my part in the prayer this morning, or this afternoon. I get my days and nights mixed up when I'm speaking tonight. So. But I appreciate that. I put this lesson together and all of the scriptures from the Bible, and I hope I put it together in a way that's understandable and meaningful and a way that you can apply it to your lives. I want to thank you for the prayers on Quinn. He's recovering well at home. He got to come home. He had the surgery this morning, mid-morning or so, on getting his tonsils taken out, and got to come home this afternoon about 2 o'clock, and he was bouncing off the walls when we left. So I think he had already had his quota of ice cream for the day, but I bet they're going to keep feeding it to him to keep him happy. So this morning I'm going to get over that in just a second, but I'm going to speak to you about Noah being favorable in the eyes of the Lord. And what came along with that is that he was a rarity in that day. Because it states in Genesis that the entire world was wicked in their thoughts and ways. And Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was preceded in his grandfathers that they were also he came from the lineage of Adam and Eve. And through that, the Lord used him to carry on mankind after the flood. I want you to imagine for a minute a beautiful spring day, sun shining. You and your family may be at a baseball game, or at a park, or a birthday party, or an outdoor wedding. It's sunny, warm, with a light breeze. Really don't have much to worry about. It's a good day. You remember that there was a slight chance of rain in the forecast that day, but it really didn't bother you much. Then you notice the wind begins to pick up. The air begins to have a chill in it. The clouds begin to darken the sky. And that's when you think that rain forecast was pretty serious. Then at that time you hear the boom of thunder and a lightning strike and the rain begins to fall. I give this image to you to think about what those people may have been doing at that time in biblical times. They were carrying on about their everyday life. Nothing was any different than it was the day before. Yet did they really expect that what Noah had been teaching and preaching to them as he built the ark, which they all thought he was foolish to build an ark on dry land. But it makes you wonder if at that moment they wished that they had maybe changed their ways and it was too late. The ark was the safe haven in that time for Noah and his family, the other seven members and the animals that were taken on board. And in the New Testament, our safe haven is Jesus Christ. In Genesis 6, 5 through 8, it's on page 6 of my Bible of 1,539 pages, that the world was nearly ended. We're not very far into that book before he eliminates mankind nearly completely, with the exception of one man's family. I heard or saw some literature today that there's a little over 6.8 billion people in the world. That's lots of zeros. But to think, I don't know what the population was at that time, but to think that only 8 people were righteous in the eyes of the Lord at that time. He takes our salvation and our dedication to Him very serious. And a lot of people want to toy with that and exclude a lot of the things that are taught nowadays to be acceptable. In Genesis 6, 5 through 8, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah was a follower of the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He had grandfathers who were the same. It was passed down from generation to generation, the biblical teachings. In the very beginning, God gave man the choice in the garden with Adam and Eve. They could eat from the tree of life and honor God, or they were forbidden to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not eating of it, they would choose to follow God. Eating of this tree, they would choose that man's way and man's knowledge was better. This was the first account that we see that the devil, or Satan, was introduced to mankind, to the very first two humans on the earth. This way of life is encouraged by Satan daily. The two trees in the garden could have been symbolized as a give versus a get. Give is defined as an overflowing love, care and concern for others greater than the love for ourselves. Cooperation, serving, and sharing. The get idea is an inward concern for oneself. I want to take this. I want to get that. Materialistic, covetous, and self-centered. Getting something at the expense of someone else. In Noah's time, the world was living mostly in the majority of get. They didn't heed Noah's teachings. They scoffed at him, made fun of him for... There's some speculation there, but you've got to assume that since there were no more followers than that they didn't believe and take to heart what was presented to them at that time. Noah was a descendant of Adam and Eve, where he was undoubtedly taught through the family ties to live according to God's commandments. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 14 through 23, says here, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." In Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. We read here where Jesus is speaking. I'm going to start in verse 36. "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. With this knowledge that we have, we know the end is coming. Whether it's in our lifetime or many years from now, we have the warning right here to be prepared and to study the Word of God to prepare ourselves in case that time was to come at a moment's notice. So what are some of the things that we deal with in this life that are struggles, that are lies that we hear through Satan's work daily? In the fourth chapter of Matthew, we read where Jesus is tempted by Satan three times. He's fasted in the desert for 40 days and nights, where he's had virtually nothing to eat. And I can't imagine going two or three days without much to eat, but and then being swayed with the option of food. Well, in his first attempt, he tempts Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God by turning a stone into bread. He works on Jesus' flesh. I know that you're hungry. Just change that stone into bread and satisfy your hunger. I know that you can do this. And Jesus states in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. His second attempt, he takes Jesus up to the holy city and puts him on a pinnacle of the temple where he can oversee the entire land. And Satan says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for the angels of the Lord shall catch you. He's tempting Jesus' pride. Prove it to me. Prove that you can do this. If you are who you say you are, I dare you to do it. You're a chicken. Show me. Jesus stated again in Matthew 4:7, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In his third attempt, Satan takes Jesus up on the highest mountain to overlook the entire kingdoms of the earth. And he said to him, I will give you all of this if you bow down and worship me. He's working on Jesus' eyesight, the lust of the eyes. Look what you can have. All these great things, these will satisfy you. And in Matthew 4:10, he states that you shall worship the Lord your God, not to covet what he could have. In John 10, verses 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan's goal is to succeed any way that he can. The Bible has several names throughout, different names for Satan. In John 12:31, he's called the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this age. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, the tempter. In Revelations 12:9, the deceiver. In Matthew 10:25, Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. In 2 Corinthians 6:15, Belial, meaning wicked. Jesus can relate to us because he's been there. In Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. If you notice the words in this scripture, aid or help those who are tempted. We don't have a Savior who has not been through everything that we've been tried with or could be tried with in this lifetime. 40 days and nights seems like an extreme to any one of us. But I think that some of that was above and beyond to prove that he went to a further extreme than what most of us will ever endure. And he made it through that. through the temptations of the devil at that time. He understood what it's like to be tempted by your eyesight, by your pride, and by your flesh. I've got a few examples here of some of the things that, the lies that Satan tells us today. The first one is having a lot of stuff is the secret to happiness. We see this through commercials, through other people, through popular people, magazines, any more social media. Probably gets to more people than anything anymore. We talk about having good schools, good education, big fancy houses, the fastest sports car, the biggest pickup. Jesus said, "Beware of any kind of greed, for life is not measured by how much you own." This was in Luke 12:15. I paraphrased that. There's nothing wrong with wealth but the desire to constantly gain, saying, "If I just get this, I'll be happy. If I had that, I know that's what I've been looking for." Jesus warns against this, where we place our worldly wealth above our spiritual wealth that is ultimately what's going to save us. Another example is, no one really goes to hell, so don't take it serious. Jesus spent more time speaking of hell than he did of heaven. There's more mentions of warnings of people of how to avoid going to hell. Hell's a real place, and real people go there. Hell was created for Satan and his demons. People who choose to go are the people who choose not to follow God. It's a choice. If you seek God out, for as in Matthew 7:13-14, it states here, Jesus states that, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." God doesn't send people to hell. It's a personal choice. The third thing, church really doesn't matter. In Ephesians 5:25, it states that Jesus loved the church. He gave himself up for the church. Christ died for the people. Church is where you find fellowship, help, protection, growth, communion. It states, don't forsake the meeting together. It's a weekly recharge by meeting with people of the like mind and like beliefs. We're stronger together than we are apart. We learn from each other. We uplift each other. Another example, God's not there for you. Through tough times, people want to blame God for shortcomings, for hard times that fall upon them in their life. They ask, "Why would God do this to me?" When we go through tough times, your faith is what you rely on. In a dark, good times, faith is easy. But the tough times are when your faith is tried. When dark times come, you can doubt your faith. There's not really a God. He's really not. Why did he do this to me? You can deny your faith. You don't want anything to do with it. You quit believing. Or you can rely on your faith. You can turn it over and put it in the hands of God to help you through that time. And Psalms 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Number five, it's not my job to serve people. Another lie that Satan may put upon people. We may say, well, that's just for preachers or youth ministers or missionaries, or that's not something I feel comfortable with. Save people, serve people. Who better to help spread the word than a believer? If you're not serving other people, then you've forgotten what God has done for you. Look for ways and opportunities to help others. Distinguishing marks of a Christian: service. Living a life as Jesus taught and how he lived throughout the Bible. In Matthew 20:28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." We should look for opportunities to serve. One example I've found is people bouncing from church to church, looking for something that church has to offer them. What can we offer the church? What are your attributes to help others within the church? Be a part of something for it to improve. What we see anymore is that we're a consuming society. What can you do for me? The church was built for people to come together and to serve others, encourage others, and to grow and teach and gain more people to become Christians. Number six, it's not my job to give. Financial giving is a portion of our blessings from God. Everything that we have was gained through our abilities given to us through the Lord. We ain't going to take any of it with us when we leave. We didn't have any of it when we were born and got here. It was something we acquired here. All of the cattle and the sheep that I have, the horses, I'm just a caretaker while I'm here. We don't have a problem tipping people at a restaurant for good service. We shouldn't have a problem donating our money to a Christian cause. Churches, children's homes, missionaries. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "God loves a cheerful giver," or a happy giver. The Greek definition is hilarious. They find it fun to give. Giving is a part of worship. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Christ loved the church that he gave himself up for her. Number seven, it's not my job to tell others about God. It's hard sometimes to confront people with the Word of God or how to approach them to speak of salvation, to speak of Jesus and baptism. We don't just walk up to somebody at the grocery store and dive right in and completely blindside them with Christ and salvation and baptism. A lot of people are going to look at you funny. You're probably going to scare them if it's something they've never heard of before. But a little bit goes a long way sometimes. A lot of people see your Christian walk and way of life as how you conduct yourself. and how you conduct your daily contact with other people. And it can be something as simple as have a blessed day. May God bless you today. And it makes people think for just a minute. And you can use that to build off of. Peter said that you're First Peter 2. Peter said that you're a chosen people, a special nation. He's speaking to Christians. You're so blessed. Tell others about your life. I want you to look for ways to talk to people about the good things and what God has done good in your life. Sometimes just speaking of the good things that happened to you and how you worked through tough times because you had prayer to go to the Lord with can help encourage others that may never have thought about it that way. Number 8. Don't get in a rush to get serious about your salvation. The number one thing that the devil feeds off of for a person that's this close to Christianity, going through the motions of confessing, believing, and being baptized, is for you to put it off another day. Because that's one more day he gets to work on you. One more day to talk you out of it. Satan wants to tell you that you've got plenty of time. Got all the take your time, you got all the time in the world. What's the rush? Because every day that you wait, you're still on Satan's side. Because until you're a Christian and you've put on baptism in Christ, there's no way that your soul will go to heaven. Satan will use your eyes, the stuff you can have. He'll use your flesh. That'll make you feel good. You'll want to try this. Pride. You deserve this. Satan is the father of lies. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy your relationships. In 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15, we have to hear the word of God. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Next, we have to believe. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Next we have to repent. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Next we have to confess. Where it was mentioned again in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And lastly, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I want you to notice there was two words there that come up that are different from belief and confession to being baptized. Belief and confession is unto. Baptism is into. You're not a part of Christ until you're baptized into Christ. Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preached any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. As it was in the days of Noah before the flood, God offered a way of escape for those who would repent and change their ways at that time. Before the flood, I thought this was interesting. People had 120 years before it actually occurred. To this day, we've had over 2,017 years of the knowledge of salvation. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I know none of you know when it's going to happen. But the longer you put it off, if you're not a saved Christian, the less chance you have of being in heaven with the ones who are. We have the knowledge and the ability to repent and become a Christian. Noah was a righteous man in the eyes of the Lord. He and his family feared God and believed what was spoken. In return, he and seven other family members were the only survivors. How lonesome they must have felt, knowing that many of their, I'm sure they were friends with many of the people that weren't believers at that time. As I know that, I'm sure a lot of us know people that are on the brink of becoming a Christian, or maybe there's people that we haven't talked to that we feel the need that we should. I hope that some of these lies that I've presented you with, that the devil tries to feed into us daily throughout our society, can be of benefit and thought to you. As I close, I want to offer the invitation to anybody that may need the prayers of the church, or maybe you feel at this time that you're ready to be baptized. If we can help you, I would like for you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Please turn to number 17. Number 17. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye heavens of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise and give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at His command. Then forever He established, His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, O ye floods, ye dragons all, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear Him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth, judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Please turn to number 27. 27. After this song, Dave will lead us in prayer. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey, that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Please turn to number 104. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast.
Please mark at this time, number 369. 369. And now turn to number 201. If it's comfortable, please stand.
Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
Please be good.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. more about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
You'd be seated just for a moment. We have just a few announcements. I really appreciate that message, Matt. It hadn't seemed that many years ago.